Jesus. And we got the Ridgecrest. Where's the Ridgecrest crew? Yay. they had an awesome, they brought in Pastor Tony Kim last night and or this weekend. And I'd never met him, but I sat in the meeting and it was just incredible. And it was a really good meeting. And he prayed for our church and it was awesome. But if you have your Bible, you could turn to the book of Acts. How many love the book of Acts? Come on. And we have been in the book of Acts doing this series, and I'm not just doing this because I'm running out of material. Like, oh, that'll be a long series. I'm not doing that. I feel with everything in me that this is where we are. Yes. This is where we are as a church. This is where we are as a country. This is where we need to be. That's where we need to come back to authentic, organic Christianity. And so I just feel this pull in my spirit as I begin to read this. I just begin to fall in love with the book of Acts all over again. Each chapter has been challenging me and convicting me and helping launch me into my destiny. And so don't just read it as just a little history book, but read it as the original church history book. And allow it to just change your heart and launch you, just as it launched Saul and turned him into a Paul. Just as it changed a Peter into this amazing man full of authority where his shadow is healing people. I believe the same will happen for us as we allow the Holy Spirit to empower us. And so this isn't just a whatever series. This is where we are. And what God put on my heart, just kind of the tagline, is the story continues. The story continues. It wasn't over at the cross, and it wasn't over with Peter. It wasn't over with Paul, and it's not over in 1972 when this church started. It's not over in 2002. It's going. It's going. We have the baton now. The story continues. Amen? So turn into your Bible to Acts chapter 8. And while you're turning there, I'm going to just pray just real quick. Father, I thank you for this message. I thank you for this day. I thank you, Lord, for your grace in this house, God. And Lord, I thank you that you love Church on the Mountain. You love every person in this room right now. You love every person that is not in this room and on vacation. God, we just bless them in Jesus' name. But God, we thank you for what you're doing right now and today. And I pray for your anointing upon this word. I pray you would seal it on our hearts, mighty God. And Jesus, we just thank you. We thank you so much, Lord. We're so thankful and we're so grateful. And we bless your holy name. In Jesus' name. Amen. I love this. So Acts chapter 8. And if you were here last week, we jumped into Acts 8 a little bit. And if you weren't here, I'd encourage you to check out that teaching. We went through verses 1 through 8. And there was some real powerful truths to kind of unpack in that first 8 verses. And just to kind of recap just slightly, I won't go too far into this, but the things that I realized just in the first 8 verses, number one, I realized that God can take any bad situation and make something beautiful out of it. You know, we see that the church was being persecuted. They were driven out of Jerusalem because of fear, but the Lord turned a situation that was full of lemons and he turned it into lemonade. And so they were driven out of Jerusalem because of fear, but then they stepped into faith and they began to change the world. And so he turned a bad situation into an awesome situation. So that was the first thing that I kind of took away from that. And then the second thing was these disciples, these apostles, these believers, they could have blamed Stephen. They could have been really mad at Stephen, but they chose to honor him. They chose to honor him and they wept for the loss for the body of Christ. And, you know, it would have been really easy to say things like, well, Stephen, like, why did you have to say you stiff-necked people? Like, why did you have to say you always resist the Holy Spirit? Why did you really have to add that? Now, like, the Rome hates us, you know, the religious leaders hate us. Now we're being killed. We're being fed to lions. Did you really have to go that far? You know, and so, but they didn't go there. They chose honor. Amen. Honor is not an easy path to take. But it is the God path. Amen. And the third thing is that the Lord can take your enemies and turn them into your allies. He could take your enemies and turn them into your greatest advocates. And that's what happened with Saul. He positioned himself wholeheartedly against the church. He hated the church. And God took a Saul and turned him into a Paul. And so I think there's many people in our lives that have positioned themselves against us, but they're just one chapter away. They're just one chapter away from a change of a lifetime. They're just one season away from going from a Saul into a Paul. Amen? And the last thing, I just loved these points, these truths, and I just wanted to highlight them really quick. And the last thing is that it was about Philip, and Philip preached the gospel, which is the good news. The good news. Say good news. And where the good news was declared and where the good news was preached, the Bible says in verse 8 that great joy was in the city. And so I believe that as we get out of the four walls of this church and as we begin to take the good news of the gospel to our communities, to our coffee shops, to our restaurants, to our friends' homes, to our families, to our marriages, I believe that joy will return into those situations. You know, because we need the joy. We need the oil of gladness again. Amen? And so that's kind of where we were with these first eight verses. And now we're going to jump into the rest of this chapter just for a little bit here. And I love this. I love Philip. Philip is just a radical dude. And I love that there's these signs and wonders happening through his life. And I love that he isn't necessarily one of the main apostles, which makes me believe that we're all called to do the stuff. It's not just a select few. It's not just for the Peters and the Pauls and the Johns and the Lukes. It's for all of us. And we're all supposed to go and bring deliverance, bring healing, bring joy to the city and to our families. And so I see this Philip doing this very thing, and there's healings taking place, there's deliverance, there's joy returning to a city. And so this is revival. Revival has just happened. He was driven out because of persecution, driven out of Jerusalem because of fear, and now he's seen explosion happening in Samaria. Amazing revival and reformation taking place. And so let's pick up in verse 9. But there was a certain man called Simon, say Simon, who previously practiced sorcery in the city, and he astonished the people of Samaria, claiming that he was somebody great. To whom they all gave heed from the least to the greatest, saying, this man is the great power of God. Uh-oh. And they heeded him because he had astonished them with his sorceries for such a long time. But when they believed Philip, he preached the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ. Both men and women were baptized. Then Simon himself also believed. And when he was baptized, he continued with Philip, and was amazed seeing the miracles and signs which were done. This is amazing. Let's just read the few more verses, and then I'll kind of talk about this whole section real quick. Now when the apostles who were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent Peter and John to them. And when they had come down, they prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit. For he had yet fallen on none of them. They had only been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then they laid hands on them, and they all received the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. And when Simon saw that through the laying on of the apostles' hands, the Holy Spirit was given, he offered them money, saying, give me this power also, so that anybody that I lay my hands on will receive the Holy Spirit. But, I don't know. But Peter said, your money will perish with you because you thought that the gift of God could be purchased with money. You have neither part nor portion in this matter, for your heart is not right in the sight of God. Repent, therefore, of your wickedness and pray that God, if perhaps the thought of your heart may be forgiven you. For I see that you are poisoned by bitterness and bound by iniquity. Then Simon answered and he said, pray the Lord for me that none of the things which you have spoken will come upon me. And so when they had testified, they preached the word of the Lord. They returned to Jerusalem, preaching the gospel in many villages of the Samaritans. That's heavy. And I love this because you see this man, Simon. Simon the sorcerer. Simon who is steeped in witchcraft. And he's not just a novice. I mean, the people in the community call him the great power of God. And so this is a man that understands the supernatural. Mm-hmm. He understands the spirit world. He's operating in a wrong spirit, but he's still operating in a spirit. And so he understands this world. And so all of a sudden, this man named Philip comes and he begins to preach. He begins to release good news into the community and joy returns. And all of a sudden, people start getting healed, delivered, set free. And he realizes, okay, wait a minute. There's something about your life that's different than my life. Yeah. And I want what you have. And so he comes to Philip and he says, give me what you have. Baptize me. Save me. What do I need to do? And I honestly believe that Simon gave his heart to the Lord. A lot of people, you know, you read commentaries and you can read books. And some people would say, oh, it wasn't a true conversion. You know, like, look what he does later. And, you know, I believe it was a true conversion. Because here is a man that was steeped in witchcraft. And then all of a sudden he says, I want to make a public profession of my faith. I want to get baptized. I want this whole community to know that I'm a different person. Like, that's powerful stuff. And so he gets baptized and he starts following. Now he's following Philip. Philip's discipling him. But then come in the big guns. Here come Peter and John, and they begin to lay hands on people. And Simon sees the power of God being released through these guys' hands. He begins to see these guys getting full of the Holy Spirit. And I believe he was born again. But how many know that once you get born again, sometimes we still got junk in our hearts. We still got some residue of our old life, especially if you've been in the occult, if you've been in witchcraft, if you've been dabbling in all this kind of stuff. You've got to believe that there's some stuff that you need to get uprooted out of your heart and life. And so here's this guy. He loves God. He's professed, I want to follow Jesus. But now this junk and this gunk is coming out of his heart. As he gets closer to community, as he gets closer to God, all of a sudden these old things start coming out. Oh, maybe if I just pay a little bit of money, maybe I can make some money off of this. Maybe this will benefit me. It was just old ways of thinking. And many times as we get closer in community, as we get closer to Jesus, stuff begins to start coming out of us, stuff that we feel uncomfortable with. But my encouragement is, don't get discouraged when that stuff starts coming out. Be encouraged. Be encouraged when stuff starts rising to the surface, because that means you are sensitive to the Holy Spirit. That means that God is doing a great work in your life. You're drawing closer to the Lord, and now stuff is coming to the surface. All you got to do is just back the dump truck up and just let it go. And say, I repent, I dump this load, and I'm moving on. MoveOn.org, right? I'm moving forward. And so there's this great revival. This great revival is taking place. Let me back up real quick. This is another great point. Verse 15, it says, so Peter and John come. They see that these people are getting saved. They're getting saved. And there's revival happening, and they lay hands on them. And they receive the Holy Spirit. And so that's another little point, little bunny trail you could take, if you will. Because people would say, well, you know, you get the Holy Spirit once you accept Jesus. And I believe that. I believe once you are born again, the Holy Spirit is living inside of you. But there's a great difference between the Holy Spirit living inside of you and the Holy Spirit coming upon you. And you see it time and time again, the Holy Spirit coming upon people. The Holy Spirit refreshing people. The Holy Spirit empowering people. And so this is exactly what happens. The Holy Spirit comes upon these people. He came upon Peter. He's coming upon these guys. And they're totally different. And then Simon sees this difference and he wants this. Huh. Just say, look at your neighbor and say, just empty the trash and keep going. Back it up. I think my takeaway from this little portion right here of 14 through 25, my takeaway would be really that there are no shortcuts in the kingdom of God. You know, we can look at people's lives. We could look at Pastor Gabe and Monica. We could look at many people that we love in the body of Christ, and you can see the signs and wonders. You can see the miracles. You can see the anointing. You can see the grace of God upon their life, but you don't understand that there's a backstory. You don't understand that there's a history there. And I believe this is exactly what Simon was doing. He looked at Peter's life. He said, I love the authority. I love the anointing upon your life. I love the grace upon your life. But he did not understand the backstory that got Peter to that moment. He did not understand that Peter was a man that walked with Jesus for 3 years. And he had intimate fellowship with Jesus for 3 years. That he even got farther up from the other 12 disciples. He was a part of the three. He was a part of the 12, then he was a part of the three. He doesn't understand that Peter also had to endure ridicule and shame and embarrassment when he denied Jesus 3 times. Three times. And he was afraid. He felt he was a failure. He ran away from everything. He doesn't understand that Jesus met him on the beach and restored his faith. He doesn't know that part of the story. Doesn't know the part of the story where he waited in the upper room for the Holy Spirit to empower him. He waited and he prayed and he fasted. And all of a sudden the Holy Spirit came. He didn't know about that part of the story. He just saw the end result. And the end result always looks awesome. And the end result always looks like beautiful. And I want that. But you don't understand that there's a backstory. And there's a deep history in Peter's life. And there's a deep history in the people's lives that we look up to and that we trust. And so I would just encourage you with this. It's just pay a price yourself. Get into the secret place. What's the secret place? It's just your prayer closet. Get into that place where you find him, you know him, you fall in love with him all over again. You just have that time in the Word of God. You have that time in fellowship, in deep communion with him, and your heart gets transformed and you build this history with the Lord. There's no shortcuts, and I love shortcuts. I love to get places faster. I do. You know, I want to know the quickest route. I'm like, I look at my phone, my GPS, I'm like, well, there's 3 options. One's 6 hours, one's 5.5, and one's 5 hours and 15 minutes. We're doing this one. I want the shortcut. But in the kingdom of God, there's no shortcuts. Come on. I love what Pastor Tony said last night. He said something, I'm trying to say it the best I can. But you receive gifts when people lay hands on you. What did he say? Does someone remember that? You receive the gifts when people lay hands on you, but receive character and anointing when you pay a price yourself. Yes. And that just resonated with me. And it's so true. And so, is this good?
Yes,
it's great. Again, it's not a bad thing when junk and when stuff and when wrong motives begin to rise out of our heart. It was not a bad thing for Simon. This was a good thing. He was with good people. And it's not a bad thing when a father like Peter comes and rebukes you. It's not a bad thing. Just let it come out and just get clean, get cleared up, and just move on. It's okay. I'm sure it was a little bit intimidating when Peter stepped in front of him because he was a different man. Like, people were dropping dead a couple chapters earlier. And so I'm sure he's like, okay, brace yourself. But just recognize what these people that love you are saying to you. Recognize it, repent, and move on. It's all we got to do. Don't condemn yourself. Don't beat yourself. Don't, you know, scrape up your knees for 5 months. Just repent and move on. Amen? Hallelujah. Let's keep going. I'm kind of just giving you my own commentary of this particular chapter because there's just so much good stuff in here. But if we go down to verse 26, we begin to jump back into this great man Philip's life. And here we go. So starting in verse 26 all the way through 40, I'm not going to read it all at this moment, but we know the context. We know what's going on. We know that there's a revival happening in Samaria. And we know that Philip was faithful. He was chosen to be a deacon. They laid hands upon him, and he was serving faithfully. And that the Lord began to use him, and he began to obey the very words of Christ, where God said, go into Samaria, Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Acts 1:8. That was the commissioning, right? And then in Acts 8:1, we see the sending. So you flip that. Acts 1:8 is the commissioning. And you flip it, Acts 8:1 is the sending. And it's sending through persecution. It's sending through means that they did not expect. But nevertheless, it was ascending. And so he chooses to obey the words of God and say, I'm going to lay hands on the sick. I'm going to preach the gospel. I'm going to do what God told me to do. And he begins to see great results in Samaria. I mean, great results. And so here he is living in a fruitful season, in a blessed season. God is totally with him and just blessing his socks off. I mean, I'm sure the people, there was reports coming back to Jerusalem. They're like, man, like, God's really moving in Samaria. I mean, it was the Bethel of the day, you know? It was breaking out. And all of a sudden, the Lord speaks to Philip. Now an angel of the Lord spoke to Philip and saying, arise and go toward the south along the road which goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is a desert. Let's just stop right there. Many times we so desperately want to be in fruitful seasons. We so desperately want to get into a season where we feel the presence of God. We feel the movement of God. We see miracles of God. There's salvations. We so desperately want to be in that spot. And you don't want to leave that spot. And so all of a sudden, he's in that spot. He's in the spot. Like, he's in spiritual activity. And then the Lord says, get out. I want you to go from the spot. I want you to go from the very place where there's so much spiritual activity. There's so much movement in your life right now, but I don't need you here. I need you out there.
Yeah.
And for me, when the Lord has told me to do things like this, I kind of plug my ears. I put in my earphones. You know, I'm like, no, I don't want to do that, Lord. This is a good season. You've been good to us. Let me get five prophetic words. Five come. Six per... 10 prophetic words. Yes, let me if an angel comes like it did for Philip, I'm out of here. You know, I trust you, Lord. But this is just, I mean, just listen to this. Just he leaves a fruitful season. He leaves a blessed region and a blessed season to do what the Lord told him to do. That's not always an easy thing to do. This is like, he kind of reminds me of Abraham.
Yeah,
Abraham, the Lord says, go. Okay, Lord. Anywhere, just tell me where to go. Go. All right. Go from your family. Go from your country. Go to a place that I will show you. All right? Dang. But he's called the father of our faith because he just had a simple trust and obedience to the Lord Christ, to the Lord God, Jehovah God. Amen. And this is what I see in Philip's life. He just, this obedience to the words of Christ, but yet he was also open to course correction. He was also open to the Holy Spirit saying, I love what you're doing, but we're just going to change slightly. We're just going to move in this direction. So I would encourage you, obey what God has told you to do. Put your hand to the plow. Go with it with 100%. But also be willing and be open to the Holy Spirit moving you. To the Holy Spirit sending you. To the Holy Spirit launching you. Amen. Be open to that, because that is the Christian life. I love that. That's what I see about Paul. We'll read that in later chapters. But, you know, Paul was going on a missionary journey, remember? And one time, there was many times the Lord spoke to him, go here. And one time he was going on a journey, and then midway on the journey, the Lord says, no, don't go there, go a different place. That's being led by the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
And so I see this in Philip's life, a man led by the Spirit of God. And I want with all my heart, I want us to be a church that is led by the Spirit of God.
Yes.
I want us to be a church that's so in love with the Word of God, so in love with Jesus, but so led by the Spirit of God.
Yeah.
In everything that we do, in our decisions, in what we do with our children, and what we do in our families, and what we do with our business, I want us to be a people fully surrendered to Christ and totally moving with the Holy Spirit. Amen? Hallelujah. So let's continue to read here. So it says 26, the angel tells him to go. And he's like, okay. But he didn't give him the rest of the clues, right? He just said, go. Just go to the road. Like, how, you know, I mean, many of us, like, I think when I get prophetic words, I want the whole picture. I want everything laid out for 20 years. You know, I want to know what nations I'm going to. I want to know, you know, my children's name. I want to know everything. Give me a map, Lord, you know. But all he says is, go to the road. Go to the road. You know, and what I learned from this is that spiritual guidance and the grace of God comes one step at a time.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Can you obey that one little thing that he's told you to do? It seems so insignificant. It seems so small. Or I'm going to wait for bigger. I'm going to wait for the guy to lay hands on me and to give me the mega word. No, can you be obedient with that little? Can you step in and lean in and just give a yes to that little thing? Go to the road.
Yes.
And so he goes to the road. So he arose and behold and went. And a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch, of great authority under Candace, the queen of the Ethiopians, who had charge over all of her treasury, had come to Jerusalem to worship. And he was returning and sitting in the chariot. He was reading Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said to Philip, go near and overtake this chariot. And so he's at the road. Okay, I'm going to the road. I'm obeying. And now the Holy Spirit says, you see that chariot? I want you to go over to the chariot. Okay, he's probably thinking, what am I going to do when I get there? Do you want me to jump on the chariot? Do you want me to push it over? Like, is somebody going to like speak to me from the chariot? There was no more clues. It was just go to the chariot. Obedience, leaning into the yes, leaning into the word of the Lord, leaning into the Spirit of God for your own life. So he says, go and overtake this chariot. Verse 30. So Philip ran to him. He didn't walk. He ran to him and heard the man reading, the prophet Isaiah. And he said, do you understand what you are reading? And he said, how could I understand unless somebody guides me? And he asked Philip to come and to sit with him. And the place in the scripture which he read was this. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before its shearer is silent, so he opened not his mouth. In his humiliation, his justice was taken away. And who will declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. Come on. So the eunuch answered Philip and said, I ask you, of whom does the prophet say this? Of himself or of some other man? Come on, 35. If you don't have 35 circled, highlighted, underlined, this is your time. Then Philip said, verse 35, then Philip opened his mouth and beginning at the scripture, he preached Jesus to him. Come on. He just preached the gospel. He preached Jesus. I love the fire in Philip's bones. Now, as they went down the road, they came to some water and the eunuch said, see, here's some water. What hinders me from being baptized? And Philip said, if you believe with all your heart, you may believe. You may. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus is the Son of God. So he commanded the chariot to stand still, and both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water and baptized him. Come on. How many love baptism?
That's it.
So good.
Baptized. You've been baptized. Now when they came out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught Philip away so that the eunuch saw him no more. And he went on his way rejoicing. But Philip was found at Azotus, or however you say that. And passing through, he preached in all the cities until he came to Caesarea. Praise Jesus. This is beautiful. This is a beautiful story. This is a beautiful a story of a man leaning into the Word of God, being led by the Spirit of God. And, you know, I love that this man's life gets totally changed. This man on the road, he was on this road. He's crying out. He's reading the scriptures. And he was waiting for an encounter with God. And this man had an encounter with God because another man obeyed the Spirit of God.
Yes.
See, there are people that are waiting for you to obey. There are people that are connected to your destiny. There are people in this community. There are people in Vons. There are people all around you that are waiting for you to step into the yes. To step into the obedience and say, I will lean into this. Even if it looks so small and insignificant, I'm going to lean into this. And you don't know the lives that are going to be changed. You don't know the fruitfulness that's going to come from just one yes to the Lord.
Right.
He didn't know that all this was going to happen. He didn't know he was going to baptize this guy. I remember a couple years ago, we were just doing a baptism over at one of the hot tubs and baptizing this couple. It was just really, really precious moment. But we showed up and there was a bunch of dudes partying and, you know, had hot tubs and they're just having a good time. And I was like, hey guys, you know, you mind if we do a baptism? And they're like, no, that'd be awesome. We love baptisms, you know. Well, sweet. They're like, could we watch? I'm like, all right. So they all get out. They have their Keystone Ice. Like, all right, here's our witnesses, you know. So they're all standing and drinking, and I baptize this couple in the water, and I pull them out, and I start praying, and God's moving on this couple's life. And this one guy just chugs his beer, crunches the can, and he looks at me, and he says, hey, the Lord touched me when I was a young man. And everything that you're doing and saying right now is really resonating with my heart. Could I get a little dip too? I said, come on, man. The water's warm. So we bring him in. We just baptize him. All of his friends are like, come on. You know? I love it. I love it. I love taking the gospel out there. I love taking the good news out there. Some of the most exciting stories that I've ever experienced in my life were not found within the four walls of a church.
Yeah.
Although there have been some exciting stuff that's happened in the four walls of the church, but the greatest testimonies of my life have been out there.
Yeah.
Have been in the most obscure places. On the backside of Mongolia with a little grandma that couldn't see and couldn't walk and the Lord touched her body. You know, it's like, it's just these most obscure places. And you're like, well, God, just move in the church. And he will. He does. But he loves to move out there.
Yes.
With the one, with the hopeless one, with the broken one, with the hurting one.
Yes.
We need to go to them and bring the good news.
Amen.
Bring light to their city. Bring light to their situation.
Yes.
Amen?
Yes.
Hope. Come on now. And I love this. And so Philip, it says that he was caught up. Philip was caught up. And he disappeared. Come on. Somebody wants to ride on some Philip Airlines today. I'm taking United back to L.A., you know, or taking Philip Airlines. Just walk and he just totally gets like, he disappears and he returns. We read about him later, many, 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 many chapters later in the book of Acts. He returns again. But he just keeps on living, keeps on preaching, keeps on bringing the kingdom. And I love this. But just think about this whole scenario again, this whole situation. This beautiful story unfolds because a man was willing to leave the good for the best.
Yes. Amen.
He was willing to leave good fruit for better fruit.
Yes.
And so, you know, this kind of reminds me, maybe some of you have heard a little, some of my story, but I know you have your own stories, but I have the microphone, so you'll listen. So in 2005, when I was living in Mongolia, and I had come to this point in my life where I was ready to live there for the rest of my life. And it was a real heart shift, and it was a real heart change. And I was really just in love with what the Lord was doing there. You know, God was really moving in that place, and there was miracles constantly, salvations constantly. You know, we would empower these teams of, you know, of Soto and Gloria and many, many, many others just like them and send them into Uzbekistan, Kazakhstan, China, Russia, all over the place. And miracles were happening like crazy, planting churches and Bible colleges. And I was like, this is amazing. Like, this is, I don't want to leave this season. This is the most fruitful, amazing season of my life. Thank you, Jesus, for sending me here. And then all of a sudden, it's like, go back to America. No. Get behind me, Satan. You know? No, go. You need to go back to America. Well, I don't want to. I don't want to. I don't want to. I did in the first year. My flesh was dying. I totally wanted to come back. And you said, stay. And now I want to stay. And you're saying, go. I'm like, that's not fair. You know? But I kept feeling this so strong. I couldn't shake it. And so I came back to America. I didn't have a big plan. All I had was a goal. Go back to America. I'm like, okay. So I come back here and I'm like, oh, maybe I'll help out with this particular church. And I don't know, maybe God will open up some doors. And no doors were opening up. And so I'm like questioning myself and second guessing if I heard the word of the Lord. And, you know, and how many have ever been there? But I'll tell you this. This was just an amazing moment for my life. I was asked to be the youth pastor for the neighborhood church. That was a good season. And that's where I met Patrick and Jessica. and many others. And Jack was there. I was asked to come and be the youth pastor for a season at the neighborhood church. And Heather had just got back from grad school. And she came back from L.A. and her family had grown up in that church, or she had grown up in that church, and she decided she wanted to serve the youth ministry. And she had been there a few months before, and she began to pray for her husband. And she said, Lord, I know that you have a husband for me, and there's nobody here. There's nobody in Bishop. There's nobody. Like, she said, you have to drop him out of the sky, wherever he is. Pluck him out from wherever he is in the world and drop him in front of me. And so here I am in Mongolia. I'm like, I'm giving my life for the nations. Poop. I'm like, ah. Drop into the mule capital of the world. So here I am. And so I'm standing in front of this youth group. And I like look over and I see Heather. And my heart came alive. And I knew that she was my wife. And she looked at me, and the Lord, the Holy Spirit, spoke to her and said, that was the one that you asked to be plucked out and dropped in front of you. Whoa. Come on. Yeah. And it just started. It started with, okay, I'll go. I'm leaving a fruitful season. I'm leaving a good season for the better. And there was so many amazing things that came out of that. Yes, you know, we have three beautiful children now. And I, honestly, like, I believe that I'm here because of my wife. I'm standing here because the Bible says that he who finds a wife finds a good thing and he obtains favor from the Lord. I believe just the mere fact that I'm standing here is favor. But I believe I have great favor upon my life because I have a great wife in my life. Come on now. She's listening. She's probably like, just be quiet, you know. I'm serious, you know. And any of you that are married, you have favor. Look, if you're married and your wife is next to you, look at your wife and say, you give me favor. If you're not married, let's put your hands in the air and say, give me some favor, God. Come on now. It's good. It's so good. I love simple obedience. I love obedience to the small things. Leaving the good and entering in to the promised land. I believe we're all entering into a season of great promises being fulfilled in our life. Last night, even Pastor Tony, he spoke that over our church and over my life. He said, you're crossing over. You're entering into the promised land. He doesn't know me from anybody. He doesn't know what we've walked through. He doesn't know anything. And he says, you're entering in. You're going to enter your promised land. Hallelujah. I receive it. But the timing of the Lord is perfect. The timing of the Lord is perfect. Patrick, can you strum for a moment, brother? And we're going to wrap this up and land it. I want to read one more scripture. And we're going to pray. Maybe sing. Dance. I don't know. I'm excited. I'm excited for Church of the Mountain. I'm excited for what the Lord is doing in this house. And I love this place. I love the legacy and the history here. I every time I come into this church, I just get so overwhelmed and blown away by the opportunity to be here for such a time as this. And to grab a hold of the baton for such a time as this. And this church has such great history and legacy in the Eastern Sierras and in the world. It was birthed in revival in 1972. And there's just been great moves of God that have come out of this place. But we are in a new season. We are in a new time. And I believe the best is yet to come. I believe we're leaving a good, fruitful season to enter into an amazing season. We are leaving good fruit to endure, to take hold of the better fruit. The best season of your life. The best is yet to come. But it starts with you, and it starts with me. It starts with you just falling in love with Jesus all over again. Saying, Jesus, I just want to know you. God, I want to just fall deeply in love with you all over again. I want to wake up at 5, at 4. What does it matter? I just want to be in your presence. I just want to know you more. It starts with you and it starts with me. It starts with carving some real practical time out of your schedule and out of your life to be with the Creator of the universe. And a fire begins to set inside of us. An unquenchable fire. And we begin to fall in love with Him all over again. But it doesn't stop there. See, you got to love Him. You need to pursue Him. But you also need to be led by Him. And that is my exhortation and my challenge to us today, is that we would be led by the Spirit of God. And it says in Romans chapter 8, verse 14, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God." Hallelujah. Just put your hands in front of you. God, we want to be a people that are led by you. We want to be a people that are led by your Spirit. God, where you go, we will go. What you say, we will say. We say yes. God, we say yes. We say yes to the plans and the purposes of God for our life. We say yes, God. We say yes to the little words. We say yes to anything that's coming from heaven. We say yes. And we lean into those words. We lean into the little words. We lean into the big words. We lean into everything that comes out of the mouth of God. Father, we thank you. We thank you. Right now, I just pray you would breathe upon this place. Breathe fresh fire upon this place. I just thank you for fresh anointing just being released over this place. Fresh grace over this place. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. Yes, Lord. We thank you, God. We thank you, God. Why don't you just grab hold of your neighbor's hands and just pray for more. Pray for a sensitivity to the Holy Spirit. Yeah, just for another 30 seconds, just bless them, pray for more life, more spiritual activity, more of God, sensitivity, a fine tuning. I even see, just as some of you are locking hands with the person next to you, I see some of you almost as an instrument. And you begin to tune the guitar, you begin to tune the guitar strings, and you begin to, a melody begins to come that sounds beautiful. I feel like there's a tuning that's happening right now for some of you. There's a tuning, there's a fine tuning, there's an alignment that's taking place right now in your spirit. And so, Father, I thank you for the tuning of the Lord. I thank you for the alignment of the Lord. Let it happen right now as we link hands, as we pray over each other as a body, as a family. Let that tuning come. Let that sound come forth in Jesus' name. Let that alignment come forth in the mighty name of Jesus. Come on, one more minute. Just pray over that person. Pray like you would want to be prayed over. Pray like you, if you needed some alignment, pray over that person. If you needed some tuning, come on. Jesus. Ha. Come on, joy. Joy, 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 unspeakable joy. Oh, come, Holy Spirit, fill this place. Fill the sons and the daughters of God. The sons and the daughters of God are led by the Spirit of God. The sons and the daughters of God are led by the Holy Spirit. Not by our emotions, not by our feelings, not by our intellect, but by the Spirit of God. And so we just choose you today. We say yes to you. Yes to the plans of God. Hallelujah. We're going to sing this chorus. You can keep praying if you want. We're just going to sing just a little bit and just continue this time of ministry. After we're done, you're free to go. God bless you. But if you want to stay and pray with us and worship a little bit, feel free just to hang out. And God bless you. Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for the word. Thank you for worship. We just seal it in the mighty name of Jesus.
How great is our God. Sing with me, how great is our God, and all will see how great is our God. How great is our God. Sing with me, how great is our God, and all will see how great is our God. He's a name above all names, and he's worthy of all praise. And my heart will sing, how great is our God. Oh, he's the name above all names, and he's worthy of all praise. And my heart will sing, how great is our God. How great is our our God. Sing with me, how great is our God, and all will see how great is our God. Worthy of all praise, God, worthy of our lives, Lord. Teach us to walk with you. Teach us to follow you every day. He's the name above all names, and he's worthy of all praise. And my heart will sing, how great is our God.
Father, we just thank you for today. We thank you for grace in the house, Lord. And we thank you for your Holy Spirit moving in this place, around us, through us, in our families, and wherever we go. God, I thank you for today. We just pray right now it would be sealed in every individual's heart, every person watching. We just thank you for that in the mighty name of Jesus. And everybody said, amen. God bless you. Have a beautiful Sunday. If you need any additional prayer for anything, come on up. And remember, be here next week. It's going to rock. God bless you.